God, praise God. What a God we serve. Y'all ready for takeoff?
Yeah.
Take off to the moon, yeah. Amen. One day we'll take off. Amen. It says one day he's coming for his church. He's coming for his people. That's our great hope. Not that we stop anything that we're doing today, you know, but that he's coming soon. He's coming for his people. It says on that day, he's going to split those eastern skies and come back for his church. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a sidebar from what I'm going to be preaching on today. We need to always keep in mind, and I'm sure everybody has heard all the things that are happening, you know, with our president and the decisions he's having to make with his rocket man, little rocket man, you know, but we have to remember, we need to continue to pray for our president. We pray that God would give him the wisdom, you know. If, you know, for the most part, I think for the last probably 20, 25, maybe even 30 years, the church has not done what it's supposed to do. And that means to pray and intercede for the leaders that are over them. The Bible says to do that. Because it says when righteous men, and he was talking about just righteous people, men and women are in office, the people are joyful. There's a joy. But when unrighteous people are in office, it says that in the scripture that the people groan. There's a groaning on the inside because it's like Pharaoh putting the pressure of all kinds of evil upon the people, and the people are groaning. And get upset about things and just the spirit on the inside. And, you know, we have a president. If you like him or not, he's in it. And I tell you what, this man is not afraid to have prayer in the Oval Office. And I'm not saying prayer to Allah either or Muhammad. I'm talking about prayer to the Father. The great God Jehovah. That's the difference. You might say, well, you know, I don't like some of his policies. Well, I understand that. You know, you ask a married couple, those two can agree on a lot sometimes, but that's okay. They're still married, and they're still under that covenant. We need to pray and lift him up, asking God to give him wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You know, no country wants to go to war with another country. I mean, you know, doesn't really want, but yet we may have to. Because you see, his number one oath when he laid his hand on that Bible, let me see your Bible. If you don't mind, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Vanna. You know, the other day Vanna was doing her stuff and she forgot to turn a letter. Oh, I said, they need a farm. And then, man, she ran back up. And you know, sometimes she has those dresses she can't move and shoes and everything. And, oh, she hurried up, turned that letter. They need a farm, man. She's been on there too long. But when our president took an oath, and he had his, it was a Bible that I think from his mother or something that from childhood, it was a Bible. The Quran, that's not the Bible. That's not the word of God. He took the Bible with his wife next to him and the guy leading him, and he took an oath of office. And the number one thing for the president is to protect the homeland. That's the number one thing. Come on in. Oh, good morning. Hey, guys, it's good to see y'all.
You too, buddy.
Thank you. Y'all want to come sit by your mom? No, they're kidding. Come sit by Vanna, older Vanna this morning. But God bless you guys. It's good to have you. Everybody else, too. But he took an oath of office, our president. And he laid his hand on the Bible and he took an oath. But the number one oath is to protect the homeland. That's the number one thing, is to protect the homeland. And, you know, I've talked to people this last week, and, you know, Christians that are, they're kind of, you know, scared. And I told them, don't worry. Our president, with our God, has things under control, people. Don't worry. We can rest in our Lord that he is taking things under control. And I know the other day I saw a picture, and I know it was a picture, but they were just taking pictures in the Oval Office, and they showed pastors that had gathered around our president. Brings tears to my eyes. And they put their hands on his shoulders and praying to the Father through Jesus Christ that God would give them the wisdom to lead our nation in the right direction. We've gone so far off course that it's taken a lot. But I tell you what, God has placed him in that position, just like he took Esther and placed her in that position to bring deliverance for Israel and God's people. So I want to encourage you, before we get into the word, we need to pray for him. Pray for him and his wife. So if you would, if you don't mind, let's stand in honor of our God. If you could, let me hold it for you. And let's lift up our hands, if you would, if you want to. And let's call out the name of our president to the God of the universe. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, we pray for our president, President Trump, and his wife, Melania, Lord God. And Father, you said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Father, we come against the evil that has tried to destroy him and destroy his presidency, Lord God. We come against the demon, foul spirits, and we tell them to leave that place, to leave him alone. The tormenting spirits in Jesus' name. And Father, we loose the Holy Spirit upon this man's body, upon this man's life, Lord God, and upon his wife and his children. Lord, give him wisdom like never before. Father, help these pastors to go to him with scriptures and show him things in the word, Lord God. Encourage him like never before, Father. Encourage him like never before, and help him to lead our nation in the right direction. We thank you for the prosperity that has come back to this nation, Lord God. The fear of you, Lord God, in our hearts and in our lives. Be with him and help him this day. And Father, we claim this because your word says, whatever two shall agree upon the earth, it shall be done. Praise God. And we thank you that it is done by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for honoring that prayer. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell you what, thank you for the praise and worship, honoring our God. I want to read in Judges chapter 6, starting with verse 1. And it says this, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, that's so heartbreaking, isn't it? After all that God had done for these people, that, I mean, they saw the Red Sea open, They had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire that just went about with them. They saw how God gave them manna. They saw how God gave them heavenly bread every day, and how he blessed them and used them and conquered the enemies. And yet they get to the place where it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, you know, I know you might say, well, what's the difference between the sight of the Lord and the sight of man? I don't know. One is more evil than another. But if it gets in the sight of God and he sees the evil, something's wrong. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian, which was a group of people. It's called the Midianites. That was a group of people. That's like, you know, we call, you know, we have Americans, you know. I mean, you know, that means we're from a certain land. That's where we live. That's where we spend our money. That's where we prosper. That's where we, you know, all that happens, you know. And so there's different people in different lands. But it was the Midianites or Midian. And they were there for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Now you might say, what does that mean? Well, you see, they were in captivity. And what the amazing thing is, God allowed the captivity. When we get off course and we start to live a life that is not pleasing to him, and we get off course and we start doing things and saying things and turning our back on God, let me tell you, because of who he is, he has to allow the enemy to come and do certain things to hopefully bring us back on that right path. Because he loves us so much. For 7 years, they were in captivity. Because they turned from their God. After seeing great and mighty things, they turned from God. And they were doing evil in his sight. And it says that it was so bad, the oppression that was upon them, that the Israelites, God's people, saved by God, miraculously delivered from Egypt by the hand and by the power of God, were going into mountains and going into cave sites to try to get away from the oppression of the Midianites. That's how bad it was. And we got to remember, God allowed it all. God allowed it all. You know, we think of, well, you know, God is good and God is great. And yes, he is. He's good. He's great. But yet, when we turn ourselves from God, God will allow certain things to happen to draw us back. To draw us back. To draw us back. Because you see, he loves us so much. Look at this. And so it was when Israel, verse 3, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till you come unto Gaza. And left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Now, that's here Israel would go and plant the crops. They had sheep, they have oxen, they have donkeys, asses, whatever. Whatever you want to call it, it's all the same. And these people, as that crop would grow, God would bless them. But because they turned from God, these Midianites would come in right when it was about to be harvested. And as the Israelites were harvesting the crop, the Midianites would come and steal it and take it from them. Interesting. They stole from God's people that had turned their eyes away from God. Would steal. Can you imagine? Anybody has gardens they work with? Nobody? Yes? We have some, and we have some that try. Some that succeed, and some that don't. Can you imagine all, you mean you till up your ground, and you put the different plant to the ground, you know, or the seed, whatever you decide to do. And man, in the corn's growing, the okra's growing, the tomatoes are growing, the cucumbers, I mean the peppers, the bell peppers, the banana peppers. I mean, just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And you go out there that day and you just start harvesting. And you put it in buckets full. Yeah, buckets full of produce. And all of a sudden, as you have all your vegetables that you have worked for, somebody drives up, has a gun, and takes it from you. They just steal everything and they drive off with it. And you just stand there like, oh my God. Everything you worked, that's what the children of Israel had gone through, the great struggle. Now, it says this, verse 5, for they, the enemy, came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came at us grasshoppers for multitudes. Although they and their camels were without number, and they entered in the land to destroy. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, there we have hope. Have you ever been to a place where maybe you sat somewhere, let's go where, and just it seems like the world is just caving in on your life? You've done everything you think you could do. It seems like the world is just caving in. It really is not, but to us, because it's happening to us, we all seem that way. And all of a sudden, you've tried everything you know to do, and all of a sudden, you just start crying out to God. I mean, you just cry out to Him saying, Father, I'm going in a direction maybe I shouldn't. Forgive me. Father, I turn back to You. What was happening, they were crying out to the Lord. What was happening was they were repenting of what they had done. They were repenting of the evil of turning instead of going in the right direction and serving their God and worshiping their God and praising their God and serving Him and giving Him what is rightfully His. They had turned and were doing other things, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And all of a sudden, as we read that last verse 6, it says that they turned their eyes back to Him. They cried unto the Lord. And let me tell you this. The Word says that I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed that he bred. The Scripture says that the Lord or the people have never seen the righteous forsaken. Every time you cry out to the Lord, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will be there. Every time we get to a place where we say, Lord, I don't know what to do, and you cry out to Him, and you humble yourselves before Him, myself included, the Spirit of God will be there. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Let me tell you this. God's children will never be forsaken by Him. God's children will never be forsaken by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's there for us. When we cry unto Him, He comes. And we don't have to beg Him. The church never has to beg. It says for us to go boldly to the throne of grace. That's humble before Him. But boldly knowing that our Father is waiting for us to cry out to Him so He can answer our prayers, so He can move on the situation that needs to be moved on. That the power of God and the anointing of God can sweep over your hearts and souls and change us and make us into what He wants us to be. They got to the right place. They got to the place where God wanted them to be. Because let me tell you, probably every one of us, sometimes we've gone in directions we know wasn't God. And let me tell you, if it would have stayed good, we'd still be on that wrong path. I know it. Every one of us. So we all might as well say, yes, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. standing in the need of prayer? It's me. We all need prayer. But we all can stand there and say, hey, it's because of the mercy and the grace of our God. But God didn't let it go far enough. He didn't let it go too far. Scratch that. He didn't let it go too far so that we would stay off track. But he wooed us back. Saying, come on, Joe. Come on now. And sometimes things got to get a little tight. But that's okay. We turn our eyes back unto the Lord. Back unto him. And when the children of Israel started to cry out to the Lord, God answered their prayers. I want you to turn, just go a little further down to verse 11 of that same chapter. And it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat upon. Now look, the angel is capitalized. That means it was really Jesus Christ coming. It wasn't just one of the angels that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit created at the beginning of the ages. But it was absolutely Jesus Christ that had come to this man. Because things were changing. Things were changing. It says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat upon an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joaz the Abinazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So here we have Gideon. The children of Israel start to cry out to the Lord because of the oppression of the Midianites. And Gideon is in a secret place, grinding some of the grain, because they knew that they had come. They had done it for 6 years already, and the seventh year was coming. But the seven is a perfect number of our God, and God was bringing deliverance because they were crying out to him, because they knew they needed him. And here Gideon, a great man of God, was in that wine press grinding the grain, so that they could have food. Can you imagine the children of Israel, God's people, were in a place of starvation? I mean, we often think, man, let's find out. But when we disobey the things of God, and then what God says in his word deliberately, things will happen that God has to allow, and it's not good. But when we turn to God and we repent and we ask him to forgive us, God starts to move by his Spirit, and things start to change in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds and in our bodies. And that's what we want. We want the power of our God to move in us and through us. We want the power of our God to be upon our lives. In the book of Acts, my God, you see the great and mighty God moving like he's never moved before. The book of Acts is action by God. God moving upon the people and changing their lives. But look at this. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You know, how many of you have gone through some hardships? Everybody raise your hand, raise your legs, you know, yeah. Can I have somebody else raise their hands for me, you know? We've all gone through some hardships and some hard times, huh? That's where Gideon was. He saw for 6 years or so these Midianites that would come and destroy the children of Israel. And he there was an anger on the inside, saying it has to change. And God started to change things. But as he was in that wine press, in a secret room, a secret place, that only he and God and the brain was, it says the angel of God, Jesus Christ himself, comes into that place. And he says, Gideon, mighty man of valor. Now, do you think Gideon thought he was a mighty man? You know, most of us, when we're in those hardships, it seems like we think of ourselves as not mighty. We often think maybe of ourselves as being a little weak, that we don't even know sometimes if we'll be able to make it to the next day because of the oppression and the things that are going on. But you see, how God looks at things and how man looks at things is totally different. How we look at ourselves and how God looks at us is totally different. And he looked down at Gideon. Now, can you imagine Gideon just working, trying to save himself and the people, God's people, doing the threshing of the wheat, doing what he was trying to do to feed the people. And God comes in. And the first thing he says is, Gideon, mighty man of valor. Mighty man. Man, that blew him up. I mean, it was like, oh my God. First of all, God comes in, and next of all, he's calling him something that he didn't think he was. See, people, you are mighty in God, but you're not mighty, and even including myself, in us, in yourself. You are mighty in God. You are mighty in the things of God. You are mighty in his word. You are mighty in his compassion. You are mighty because of him, but not in us, but because of who he is. Mighty in him. And God calls him, or Jesus calls him, you are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh my God, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Oh, I mean, he's just complaining. He's saying, well, if I'm mighty, well, you know, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? You see, the fathers had told the children, look, when we came out of Israel, this is what happened. The 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptians. That last plague, when God said, put the blood upon the doorpost and upon the lintel there. And how God delivered them. And how the Egyptians, Pharaoh, them, their firstborns were killed and destroyed as a death angel came in. And as the children of Israel would tell their kids how the Red Sea opened up and they walked upon dry ground and the walls were way high of water. But yet it was dry ground till they got to the other side. And how God, when the Pharaoh's army came, how the walls came down and destroyed all the Pharaoh's army. How God, when they needed water, how God would talk to Moses and tell him to speak to the rock. Got in trouble when he did it. When he hit that rock, Jesus was never to be beaten again. When he told him, cut that tree down and let it fall in the water, and the water was good. When they started to complain because all they had was heavenly bread to eat that they didn't even work for, and God said, well, I'll see you quail, and that quail came and came and came. They got sick. They ate so much. The blessed thing, they kept telling their children, and Gideon saying, Jesus, where are the miracles? Where are the miracles? Jesus, we've heard about it, but yet we are in prison. We can't even feed ourselves. And Jesus says, it's about to change. And you see, the change was coming because they had changed. They cried unto the Lord. And it says, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out up from Egypt? And but now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, verse 14, go into your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. Now we get to the scenario. Gideon. God called this man to bring deliverance. When God's people call out to him individually, God comes and meets with his people. How many of us have been on Skid Road, huh? We didn't know what to do tomorrow. We cried out unto the Lord like the children of Israel did. And God either met with us or sent somebody to us. Because he's a faithful God. How faithful is he? He's faithful as far as the heavens We can see in the heavens who's faithful. God will always raise up a man or a woman, a person, when the people of God cry out in a certain area. When they cry out unto the Lord and say, Lord, we need change. We need help. We need you to go before us, Father. We need help. God will raise up a man or a woman that will take up the mantle and will bring forth the power and the anointing and the presence of God to show what God can do. To show what God can do. And Gideon said, we need deliverance, Lord. We need deliverance. And he went to God and God told him how to do it. You can read in that same chapter where even Gideon's father was not a believer in Jehovah God. What a shame. You might say, well, how did Gideon get to the place of him believing God? God did a mighty miracle somehow with this man. It says that even Gideon's father worshiped Baal. B-A-A-L. And one day, see how bad, this is how bad it was with the children of Israel. They had started to cry out to the Lord and repent and ask God to forgive them. Gideon, God talks to him and says, I want you to go to the God of Baal that they have lifted up and built an altar to and destroy it. You can read it. And then there was a grove, it says. Now, it wasn't like a, you know, you think of groves like in California, grape groves. And it was groves of idols that the children of Israel had made. Of all kind of idols, worshiping Baal and Dagon and all kind of gods, and the way they made them were not good. Very explicit, very vulgar. That's what happens. Sins bring vulgarity. There's no decency in sin. It destroys humanity from the inside out. Inside out. God restores from the inside out. The great restorer. And Gideon took 10 men because God said, I want you to destroy it. And in the middle of the night, he went to Baal and destroyed it. He went to the grove and destroyed it. They destroyed all of it. And what they did was they built an altar to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, giving honor to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now our God. And God was pleased with it. See, what God was doing was that he was testing, if you want to say testing, Gideon to see if he would do what he wanted him to do. See, God will put things upon your heart. You might say, well, you know, I don't know. When you pray, you ask God, Lord, use me. Use me in your kingdom. Use me in your kingdom. Everybody, when we pray to the Lord and ask God to use us, he will use us to bring glory and honor to him some way, somehow. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Zero. There's always someone we can encourage. There's always someone we can bring to the Lord. There's always someone we can pray for. There's always someone we can help and minister to somehow, some way. In the kingdom. Then later on in chapter 7 of that same, you need to read it this week. Read it. The Midianites had 135,000 men. That's a lot of men. They came into Israel, they took everything they had, they destroyed it. God said, Gideon, get your army together. And Gideon calls out to the people and the men come. And then, you know, God tells Gideon, tell all these men, the ones that are afraid, to go home. And I'm sure Gideon said, man, these are great men. Oh, maybe a few might go home. Maybe a few. But not many. And all of a sudden, as he's speaking to his army, he's the general under God. And he says, look, anybody that's here, because we're going to fight the Midianites, God has given them to us. But if any of you are afraid and want to go home, pick up all your stuff. Take all your socks. Take your belts. Take your brush. Whatever you got. And your underwear. Load it up and leave and go back home. And I'm sure when he said that, he looks up and there's a mass exodus of 22,000 men that left. Gideon still had his faith in the men and the army. Because you see, he knew the Midianites had 135,000 men, well equipped. He thought, well, I have 22,300. I'm okay. I think I can handle it. And he looks up and 22,000 stand up, take all their stuff, and there is a mass exodus. I'm sure he looks and his balloon has popped up. And he looks, and you know when 22,000 people just leave, you can't see the ones that are staying too much. All you see is the mass exodus. And after all the dust settled, he looks back and he's looking to see. There's some way in the back, because there's 22,000 has left. And he says, whoever is left, come close. And as they start to march on in, they start to number. And there's only 300 men. Now, do you think he was a little scared, maybe? Do you think he was a little like, oh, my Lord, how are we going to do this? Do you think there was maybe a little fear came upon him, saying, Lord, I think you need to choose somebody else? You see, sometimes in the face of Lucifer and his army and the army of God and what God chooses to do and how he wants to do it, we wouldn't do it that way. Man, many nights I have 135,000. Well, Lord, let's get us 500,000. Let's show them that we can surround them and kill them. Let's do it our way. Well, buddy, we've done it our way for too long, and we've gotten in trouble. Now we need the power of our God. Because you see, we have to realize that man cannot win victory in the spirit. God has to do it through us and in us. It's him and him alone. 300 men plus God is a majority with 135,000 with no God. Or not the God Jehovah. We need to remember that. The word says, and I preach about this, the Bible says that if two shall agree, people, there's power. Get with your spouse and agree together on the things that y'all be praying about. There's something that happens in the spirit realm that happens. I say, well, I'm not married. Well, find somebody, you know, that you can trust to pray about certain things. Two shall agree, it shall be done according to the will of the Father. The power that is there, two plus God, outweighs the 135,000 full of demon spirits in the spirit realm. The power of our God, the anointing of our God. And we know with the 22,000 and all that stuff, prayed. They got to a certain place, and God says, let them drink. And the ones that drank with one hand and had their sword or whatever in their other hand, he said, keep them. And the ones that used both hands, he said, get rid of them. And we know all that. And it got down to 300. Amazing thing. Gideon went to the Lord and said, now, Father, what are you, how are you going to do this? You know, he's probably thinking, Lord, just send an earthquake, you know, and just let it open and swallow them up and close it up. Like he did in the Old Testament with a famine. I mean, you remember the famine? And God said, I'm going to show you what to do. The Midianites were camped. And God told Gideon, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take 100, 100, and 100. And I want you to take 100, put it on one end, another 100 on another end around about them, and another one on 100 in their end. Good. Okay, Lord. Now, he said, in your right hand, I want you to put a trumpet. How is that going to help us? We think, well, you know, Lord, give us some guns here. One in our right hand, one in the left, you know, and a few of them, you know, hidden away so we can have the ammunition, you know, and stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't use these things as God could use them. But we always have to remember, God will do certain ways, so that the people know that it was not them that delivered them, but him and him alone. And they took that trumpet in their right hand, and on the left hand, they had a light or a candle with a clay jar over it. Amazing. I'm sure Gideon was thinking, is my Lord, are you okay? You know, we just want to make sure, you know, make sure. But, you know, Gideon, a great man of God, believed God and said, I'll do what you tell me to do. And they got in their three positions. And as God the Father would speak to Gideon, he would give instructions to the groups. And he said, when I give you instructions, this is what you do. In your right hand, everybody blows at the same time. And then in their left hand, you are to hit that clay pot. It is to break, and then the glow of the light will shine. And all of a sudden, as Gideon is there, he tells the three groups, however they did it, I don't know how, surrounding 135,000 in three different groups of 100 each. He gave the directions, and that's amazing. God gave the directions to Gideon. Gideon gave the directions to the people, and God brought victory. And all of a sudden, God told Gideon, I want every one of you blow the trumpet. And all of a sudden, it's like 11 o'clock at night. Now, you know they were probably sleeping for the most part, relaxing because they were full. They were full of all of Israel's stuff. And at 11 o'clock, when they are just sound asleep, God even gave them the exact time, around 11, they blew the trumpet of 300 men. And as they blew the trumpet, they took the clay pots and they broke them. Can you imagine 300? And all of a sudden, the light was shining. Can you imagine? If you're in a sound sleep, because I know God brought a spirit of sleep upon that place. They were out. Have they ever been awoken from a deep sleep all of a sudden? You don't know where you're at sometimes. I mean, you just kind of like, oh. Can you imagine? They woke up to trumpets blowing, 300 of them. Clay pots breaking and light shining. And they can't see because they don't have night lights. They don't know exactly what's going on. They wake up and there's confusion in the camp of the Midianites brought on by God because Gideon did what God told him to do. And all of a sudden, the Midianites start killing themselves. Taking their swords, because they don't know who's after them. They think it's a foreign land or a foreign army that's coming after them. And they take their swords out after that deep sleep and start killing. And what they're doing, they're killing their own people. It says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me tell you, he's a hard taskmaster. That's what he, and look, they killed one another. And God, the army of Israel, of Gideon's army, of 300 men, defeated an army of 135,000 men by the power and the presence of our God. Let me tell you, when you are praying and you are seeking God and you take your wife by the hand or your husband by the hand and y'all agree together that the power of God would move upon the situation in your personal life or in the lives of your home or your church, whatever it is, the power of God starts to move. The Spirit of God starts to move. And victory is absolute. Let me say it again. Victory is absolute no matter what. No matter what. The power of God. And people, we need to rely upon our God. God wants to bring victory in every aspect of your life. Father, show us. Show us. As we keep our faith and trust in Him. The power. Gideon. My God, what a great man. Coming from idolatry, his dad, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, all of them, but yet coming to a place where he served God. And God used this man to bring deliverance to his people. My God, what a great God we serve. We may not understand why God chose to do it with this man. We understand some things, but God knew he wanted us to know that some things may seem strange to mankind, but it's not strange to him. He wanted them to know it's only him that could protect him. It's only him that could give them strength. It's only him that could give them victory. People, there's nothing else in this world that will give you the strength, the ability, the power, the anointing like God. Like the Son of Man. Like Jesus Christ in who he is as the Holy Spirit works upon our hearts and lives. There's no other like him, people. No other like him. Look, drugs can't do it. Alcohol can't do it. Illicit things can't do it. It's only the power of our God that can bring strength and power in a man or a woman to take on the courage to accomplish what he has put before him, what he has called him to do. He was a mighty man of valor in the beginning, and he was a mighty man of valor, Gideon, in the end. What God saw was a man after his own heart, and he looked at him. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Gideon was perfect? No. Lord, have mercy. No way. But God saw a man of God in him. What God sees is sometimes what man does not see. How God wants to do things. Never, always remember, God is never too late and he's never too early. Remember when Lazarus died? Mary and Martha, his brother, his two sisters, they called for Jesus and he didn't come. 4 days later, Jesus comes to town. He's just on time. They cried out, they said, if you would have been here, it wouldn't have been like this. And Jesus is basically saying, I'm right on time. We may go through difficult times and difficult hardships and whatever, but let me tell you, Jesus is right on time. He's right on time. He's right on time. He's right on time. The devil will think you lose, will want you to think you're losing it all. You won't make it to tomorrow. Remember, don't believe the signs and wonders of the enemy. Believe the signs and the wonders of your God. And when the enemy says you're going to lose it all, remember, if he always does not tell the truth. That's who he is. He's a good liar. He's the father of lies. But our God tells the truth. And our God looked at Gideon and said, if you are a man of valor, you are a man of my own heart, you are a man that looks to me. And let me tell you, he looks at us and he says, you are a men and women of God. You love me. How does he look at us? Praise God. The power of our God. Jesus said, roll away that stone. Take it out. And he looked in that grave, in that cave. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, you see Lazarus stumbling to the front. And man, they were telling him, he stinks. Yeah, he stinks all right. We all stink sometimes. Stinky attitudes. Just stink sometimes. But that's okay. God works. And we keep at the altar of God and we say, Lord, change us. Make us into one. And all of a sudden, that Lazarus came through. Let me tell you, resurrection will come in your personal life. Stay before him. Stay before him. Stay before him. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. But you keep your eyes upon him and him alone. 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 And let me tell you, he'll change the circumstances. And as he changes the circumstances, he changes us. He changes us from the inside out, where the power and the presence of God can grow on the inside of us, where he can speak to us certain things so that we can grow in the things of God. Grow in him. Let the power of God move in your heart. Let me tell you, you get in your word and you start quoting the scriptures. You get your music and you start praising God. Man, something good is about to happen. Praise God. Something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen in this place. God is about to move that will shake this place and shake this area for the kingdom of God. All we got to do is humbly go before him, humbly stay before him, and let the power of God move upon a people. Let the power of God move upon families. Yes, yes. We are desperate, and we are in a desperate place for a move of God. We need a touch from God. We need it. Our country needs it. Our society needs it. Bad. We need it. We need it. We need it. He's a faithful God as we cry out to him. Amen. Amen. You're a great bunch of people, guys. Keep your hearts right before you continues. Just call out to him daily. Saying, Father, strengthen me, lead me, God, and help me to do your will. Praise God. Amen. You may stand. And always remember, God will look at you and say, you're a mighty man or woman of valor. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve, people. What a mighty God we serve. Mighty is our God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing too hard that he can't do, and there's nothing too hard that he can't solve. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's hope in our God and no one else. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus?